This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Let's go to our legal feature this evening. We're asking the question, when there are protests, who should be held liable for damage of property that happened during the protest? Is it the organizers of the protests or who? Should it be a political party that organizes a protest? Could be a workers' union that organizes a protest? Could be an NGO that organizes a protest? But members or those participating in the protest, damaged property, who should be held liable? We speak to Labour expert Osborne Mulatudi is with us on the line to talk to us about this. Good evening. Welcome to Progressive Talk.
Good evening, and good evening to our listeners. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Good evening, indeed. Good to have you again on the show. So primarily, and I'm sure you can quickly connect the dots to where this is coming from. So the question is, who should be held liable, and legally speaking, when there are protests and members or those participating in the protest damage property? What does the law say around that?
As a starting point, generally, if a party organizes a protest, that party, in terms of the relevant laws, has a duty to ensure that those participating in the protest do so peacefully and without causing any disruption or violence to those who do not wish to participate in the protest, and also including ensuring that there's no damage to property or life or related. So that's the first key responsibility on a party that organizes protests in terms of our laws. And then secondly, that party, if it's not able to ensure those key requirements are in place, it can be held responsible for any damage or loss of life or violence or assault emanating from those protests. So those are the key principles that people must keep in mind. However, what you then find as a form of defense is a party then denouncing violence, disassociating itself with any act of violence, and more importantly, as you may have heard from the recent event, publicly stating that it never authorized its members and or those who were acting in support thereof to act violently and do whatever that they would do. And that is what they will normally do to try and avoid liability. What then this means is that a party, an affected party that wishes to sue that party that organized a protest will then have to prove that that was not enough and also establish the nexus between their pronouncement, their announcement vis-a-vis the actions of those who participated in the protest. And that is in a nutshell.
And back to that, I wonder if there's been precedents. I know there was a precedent that brought this issue as well in the Western Cape. It was a SAMU issue, if I'm not mistaken, some organization, and the government there was saying they trashed government property. This union should be held liable. But you were talking about pronouncements and what they say and the nexus, therefore, that needs to be connected. Has there been precedents where these issues have been successfully prosecuted or someone has successfully claimed damages?
Oh, yes, that's another angle. There can be criminal prosecution for those who are arrested, but that may not be enough joy to a landlord or the owner of the property that may have been damaged in that process. So that owner's interest will be to sue for damages in an attempt to recover, or to repair the damaged goods, etc. So yes, there can be a criminal prosecution. And, interestingly, you can't arrest a party. So you can only arrest individuals. So often those individuals will be pressed to explain why they participated in the violent act in the manner in which they did. And more often than not, they will not say that they were authorized by somebody else or a party, etc. They will simply say whatever they want to say in defense. They were provoked or they were peaceful, the cops came and provoked them and intimidated. It's very rare that they will say, no, we were authorized by our party to be violent. And again, that in an attempt to protect the party from attracting liability. So there has been a number of cases where unions, yes, were held responsible as a result of either their pronouncement, the announcement, the timing, the lack of action on their part to stop the violent act, etc. So there's been a fair number of cases where a precedent has been set in terms of which trade unions would ultimately be held liable for damages caused during a violent strike or during a strike that then turned out to be violent.
Yeah, and of course, you've touched on the issue of pronouncements made, whether they suffice to say. So what do you check? Do you check that this pronouncement is incitement enough for someone to be held liable for what then followed, for someone else's actions?
Incitement will be one of the factors to be taken into account. I'm trying to get you the case law that actually said this. I think it's Satau. Let me have a look here.
Okay,
the case, I think it's Satau versus Garbas. It was a Concord judgment. And I think this is what they said here. Let me see here.
Yeah.
The purpose of a limitation imposed is very important. It is to protect members of society, including those who do not have the resources or capability to identify and pursue the perpetrators of the riot damage for which they seek compensation. When a gathering imperils the physical integrity, the lives and the sources of livelihood of the vulnerable, liability for damages arising therefrom must be borne by the organizations that are responsible for setting in motion the events which gave rise to the suffered loss. And that is what this important limitation is designed to achieve. So the limitation they're talking about is you can't then say, oh, no, we're just exercising our freedom of association, our freedom to picket, to protest, etc. There is a limitation in terms of which you can exercise that right. And I've already outlined the factors that will be taken into account there. And this is a Concord judgment, and it was by the majority judgment read by our Honorable Chief Justice Mokoem Mokoenya. Satau versus Garbas. And commentators are saying it would be interesting if that similar reasoning can or will be applied in the event that CLICS decides to pursue a civil damages civil claim against a party that recently caused or allegedly caused damage to their stores.
And of course, there's that conversation. So the because and this is outside what we're talking about. Maybe let's stick on liability, because the other question people are asking is, and this would be obviously on incitement, is at what point is an action therefore taken when you have seen damage to property? I wonder if there's a way we can steer that into our conversation without steering into the other end of it.
As soon as the damage is caused, that's where the affected party can start, to put in motion an action for damages. So, for instance, how it's normally done in practice is that the lawyers for that affected party will write a letter to the organization to say, this is what you have done. You have organized this protest. This is what it has resulted into. Please give us an undertaking that you are, you had put in place certain measures, but you failed to do so, etc., etc. So there will be what is akin to a letter of demand, and then thereafter a civil suit will follow. But remember, the affected party must also will also be required to calculate what is referred to as quantum, in other words, the value of the damage caused, etc. And it takes a while. It takes a while. I mean, if you look at the cases against unions that have been held responsible, those in the know will tell you that the judgments will end up being handed 2 or 3 years later, because it's a long process. There's notices that have to be issued, undertakings that are requested, etc., which will then serve as part and parcel of the documentary evidence to serve before a court of law.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time on Progressive Talk. Wonderful evening to you.
It's my pleasure.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.